What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Formula America podcast. We're your host, Curt and Dylan, and today we're here to do kind of a little update on a little bit of stuff that we talked about last time, and also what I think is potentially the beginning of silly season. You know, the news keeps popping up, or the articles keep popping up about this upcoming meeting with Max Verstappen and Mercedes, and some of those are thought about, should we talk about it? But I think it's to the point now, there's so much coverage on this that we kind of got to say something about it.
And it's funny because it's one of those things, like, if there's this much coverage on it publicly, everything's behind the scenes in Formula One. So if it's this far out of the bag, is it even real? Is it like even worth the merit anymore? Or is that it already basically been discussed and people are just kind of grasping for straws? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that I fully believe it.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But if you remember when we sat down for our last podcast, the rumors and news about Checo's contract demands and all that, as we were pressing record, I was on my phone and I was reading an article on Instagram about Adrian Newey leaving Red Bull. And I remember saying, oh, here we go with this BS again, this popping back up. And then legitimately later that day, it comes out of nowhere. And while it hasn't been officially confirmed by Adrian Newey and Red Bull officially, there are some pretty big sources that are actually running with this story. BBC, motorsport.com, Sky Sports, things like that. So yeah, man.
It's Adrian the big Newey. Ones that, you know, it's not, what was it, F1 Financial or About F1 that released
the Pillow Talk episodes.
Yeah, that one. This is, you know, Motorsport and Sky Sports. Like, these are the big dog news outlets. Like, if they're reporting on it, it's got to have some merit.
Yeah. So let's talk about this. Adrian Newey, been with the team since 2006. One of the three main pillars at that team, Adrian Newey, Helmut Marko, Christian Horner, and reportedly is just fed up with all of the chaos and noise surrounding the team and all of the backlash and all that, largely stemming from Christian Horner's investigation. And so, yeah, looking to take his talents either elsewhere or just leave entirely.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. Like, I can't help but wonder, you know, this is Adrian Newey's third generation of cars that have won world titles, right? He did it in the 90s. He did it with Vettel. He's now done it with Verstappen. And the RB20 is every bit, if not more so, dominant than the RB19, which was the most dominant car borderline in the history of F1. I can't help but wonder if he's like, okay, check the box, did it again. There's a whole lot of drama and craziness going on, and I just kind of want to sit and tinker on the cars and make them great. So I'll go somewhere else and start over and have the brain stimulation and all that stuff to try and do it again. I can't help if that, you know, is where his head's at in the beginning. And then you throw in all the drama of Christian Horner and Jos Verstappen and Helmut Marko, and he's like, deuces, guys, I'm out. Like,
yeah.
This is too much for me.
So let's look at his history. He's one of the most successful car designers. He's got 12 constructors championships with three different teams, seven different drivers, winning 13 drivers championships across, you know, all the drivers that he's worked with. He's one of the main designing factors behind the Aston Martin Valkyrie, which is that hypercar. Mm-hmm. It's like almost a legitimate road legal track car, I guess.
Yeah.
He's also essentially been given carte blanche to design the RB17, which is Red Bull's actual road car. It's essentially, again, just a track car like the Valkyrie was. And so he's designing that. So I wonder how that's going to work, too. If he leaves the team, is he just going to pack it up and, you know, pass on all of his notebooks to whoever else is going to take over the RB17? Or will he still stay on board for that? I don't know.
It's a lot. I don't know. It's interesting, though, bringing up that he was a big part of the Aston Martin Valkyrie, because one of the three potential teams that are everyone's rumor milling him out is Aston Martin, and he already has a relationship with them. Where do you think he might go?
I think, well, first off on that, I think any team would be stupid not to open up the purse, you know, open up the pocketbook and see how much can we offer this guy to get him on board. And I think Aston Martin, they have some deep, deep pockets. We know they do. Then on the other side, you've got Fred Vasseur, who's essentially assembling the Avengers over at Ferrari right now.
That's right.
And I think Yeah, Adrian Newey would be integral. If he could get over there, that would be incredible. So I think, honestly, and then also we hear about Toto trying to get into Mercedes. If I'm Adrian Newey, I'm looking at Ferrari as my first choice, Aston Martin as my second. But I think Ferrari, that's that one. Even like with the drivers saying, everybody wants to drive for Ferrari, right? Lewis Hamilton did it. I think for engineers and designers, that's kind of the holy grail also.
I 100% agree with you. I think that Aston Martin would be really fun to have Adrian Newey at, just because they're kind of the new hotness on the scene, the up and coming. They're the, you know, rebuilt it or built an entire factory from scratch in like a new kind of design work together space. And, you know, they're kind of shaking everything up really well, minus, you know, Lance Stroll. But moving on, he would be really fun to work there. I think he'd get a lot of leeway to kind of do what he wants. But I do agree with you. Ferrari is the holy grail of Formula One. They are the OG. They are who everyone at some point. There's nobody in the sport that doesn't somewhat want to be a part of Ferrari, I think.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'd love to see him go, especially with Lewis, especially with Fred Vasseur. Like you said, he's assembling the Avengers over there, and I'm starting to just root for him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but I mean, also, you look at him, I think he's, what, he's in his 70s now. He's not hurting for money. He's making $10 million a year at Red Bull without any bonuses on top of that. So, I mean, he might just, oh, he's 65 years old. So, I don't know, maybe he might want to kick it around for another 5 years or so until he's 70 and not hang it up just yet. Yeah. And could you imagine if he got over there and he's already done the Aston Martin Valkyrie, the RB17, and now he starts designing a Ferrari road car as well. Like, I
Ferrari,
think that would
La
be
Ferrari
huge...
Gen 2.
Right. Yeah. That would be a part of the deal, I'm sure. It'd be like, yeah, you get to come over and also have your own car.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be pretty exciting to see.
That'd be really fun. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. So let's segue this and add a couple variables in. So there's the whole Max Verstappen Mercedes conversation. If that were to go through and I'm Adrian Newey, I think that I would start. I would not want to go over there and rekindle the Jos Verstappen, Helmut Marko, Toto Wolff now instead of Christian Horner. Like, I think if I'm Adrian, I'd probably be separating myself from that.
Yeah. Yeah. And just looking at him from the outside, Toto's a drama queen, man. Like, I don't want to go and work for that. That's not, you know, a good environment to go to. Yeah. I would want to go with somebody who's a happy-go-lucky guy like Fred Vasseur, you know, or somewhere I could do whatever I want, like Aston Martin. But Mercedes just isn't an attractive or appealing option, in my opinion, at all right now.
It's hard because they got deep pocketbooks. Like, sure, there's the budget cap on the development of the car, but there's nowhere else like Mercedes that is rumor milling to offer Max $150 million a year in payment. Like, I think Mercedes this year, or last year technically, but it was released this year, broke the record for the most amount of money spent during a Formula One season. They went over the $500 million mark. While I agree that, like, culturally and on track, Mercedes isn't the most attractive right now, man, they are a business that is booming and got the money to go with it, and that makes them kind of interesting.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. All right, so let's talk about this proposed meeting that we keep hearing about. So yeah. Apparently what's happening is after the Miami Grand Prix, Toto Wolff is set, and some other execs from the Mercedes team are set to sit down with Max, Jos Verstappen, and Max's manager and have a legitimate meeting about potentially coming over for the 2025 season and beyond. And so what's been leaked is apparently they're offering Max, like you said, 150 million euros a year, which would essentially, well, definitely would make him the highest paid athlete in the world. I'm looking at last year, Cristiano Ronaldo made 136. Only 46 million of those were on the field earnings. So Max, this is 150 before bonus and all that would be definitely
for sponsorships.
Oh, my God.
Ambassador role, which is what Lewis I think wanted, a 10-year ambassador role, and Mercedes didn't do it. Now they're out allegedly possibly offering Max a lifetime ambassador role, which is I think I would take Lewis Hamilton as the ambassador personality over Max Verstappen, but you know, still it's a hell of an offering if it's true.
Well, that's the part about this whole thing that kind of gives me pause, right? It's that seems a little problematic. Why would you turn around and offer that to Max, who has zero history with the team? Lewis Hamilton brought them multiple drivers and constructors world championships. He comes with a gigantic fan base. He is everything you would want out of an ambassador. Yeah. And so the fact that they didn't give that to Max or to Lewis, and now they're reportedly offering it to Max, I don't know how much water I put into that or how much weight I put into that. It just seems kind of just counterintuitive. I don't know. That one doesn't make sense to me. But man, if they're offering 150 million, I mean, if I'm Max Verstappen, I'm probably going to go over there. That's a lot of damn money.
That's a lot of money, but he's already got a lot of money. I bet that's enticing, but not everything. If you offered that money to Nick DeVries, I'm pretty sure it would be a no-brainer. But to somebody that's already doing 50, 60, 70 million a year, like, it definitely plays a part. I'm not downplaying that, but it's not everything.
Yeah.
And that's what they've said. They said that Max wants a competitive car, which is not exactly the term I would use. I think I'd call it more of a challenging car over a competitive car. If I'm Max, I've got a contract with Red Bull through 2028. The RB20 will be, even if Adrian Newey leaves, I don't see the RB21. Even if they just continue on the RB20, I think it's going to be a hell of a car to beat. I don't know that I'm moving.
Yeah.
I just don't. Yeah, it doesn't make logical sense to go to Mercedes.
It doesn't. It doesn't at all. It only thing that makes sense is that big fat paycheck.
Big fat paycheck.
Not only the other part of this is they're also saying that apparently they're also meeting with Helmut Marko to try to get him to come over. And then now, what is this? Motorsport Italy. They're saying confirmed. I don't know how reliable that is, but apparently they're also going to sit down with Adrian Newey, which I don't doubt. Sure. Of course, they have to at least shoot their shot. But man, that would be wild. That would be crazy. Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari is crazy, but Max Verstappen going to Mercedes, I think, would be even more crazy.
Which is funny because when Lewis went to Ferrari, that was like the earth-shattering news of the century in Formula One. I don't think anybody expected it.
Right.
I know I didn't. But it's funny being like that eclipsed everything in recent history. And now we're saying a couple of months later, there's an opportunity for something to eclipse that. Like,
yeah, right.
I don't know. I don't know if the sport can handle two of those in one year.
Just might shut down everything. All right. So, as we spoke about last time, we were speculating the news that Nico would be moving over to Sauber for the 2025 season. Now that that's confirmed, we've got two drivers at Sauber. And last time we spoke about who we thought would be in and who we thought would be out of there. So I think we both agree that probably Zhou Guanyu would be the smart choice to keep.
Yeah.
I think they're still shooting their shot for Carlos Sainz to come over there and holding out for that. But
poor Carlos.
I know Carlos is, it's a bad time to be in Carlos's shoes right now. But
you make an awesome move from McLaren to Ferrari, get several victories, and now you're being relegated to the back markers. It's like,
the only way that could ever happen is if someone like seven-time world champion Lewis Hamilton wants to come over. And so you're just like in the prime of your life, the prime of your career. You're winning. You're the only one winning races other than Max, and now you're jobless. And there's no good opportunities out there right now. That just sucks.
Yeah. So Carlos. Yeah, I'm sure Sauber does want Carlos. If I were Sauber, I would too.
Oh man. All right. So, but that does leave an open seat down at Haas, and so I think, you know, a lot of people are starting to speculate what's going to go on there. What do you think is going to happen in that seat?
I think that unfortunately for him, Ollie Bearman did a great showing, and for his efforts, he will make it into Formula One in one of the worst teams on the track.
Hey,
and hopefully he can George Russell his way into the higher teams if he doesn't pull a Mick Schumacher because the car's so bad he puts it into the wall every race and never goes anywhere.
You know what? For as much shit as we give Haas, they've actually done pretty decently this year. So, I mean, maybe
they've taken a big step forward this year. I will definitely give them that. But they're still back there competing with Alpine and Williams, which
that's true. But yeah, I think I agree. I think Ollie Bearman's kind of the natural fit for that spot. I think that now that, you know, Nico has gone, I think that saved Kevin Magnussen for at least another year. Because otherwise, I think K-Mag was probably not going to be renewed and probably replaced with Ollie. So K-Mag should be probably the most happiest right now about Nico moving on. But yeah, I'm thinking Ollie Bearman and K-Mag will probably be driving for them next year.
Yeah, that's kind of my thoughts. You were saying Sauber, we think, will be Nico and Joe.
Potentially, man. I think that shortly after Miami, we have to see a move on Carlos Sainz. I don't think he can afford to wait much longer because seats are going to start falling away. And before you know it, he's going to be stuck just having to, you know, take a seat of convenience.
Maybe at the same time, just playing devil's advocate here, if I'm Carlos, I'm holding out for Checo to pull a last year, start shitting the bed. And I'm hoping all the Lance Stroll rumors of them wanting him gone are somewhat true, and I can slide into Aston or Red Bull. I think if I'm Carlos and I'm rolling dice here, I think I'd hold out a little bit for that.
You know what? Now that you say it, I didn't think about it before, but I think that there's probably a huge possibility at this point now that, you know, Lance might get pushed out secretly behind the scenes.
There's a ton going on with him right now.
For a while, a lot of people have said he should be gone, but I've never seen the masses come together in, you know, one fight like this in a long time, you know, and like, it seems like before there was always people that would come out and be like, oh no, Lance deserves it. There would always be the onesies and twosies. Now it seems like everybody is aligned against Lance Stroll. And I think just the social pressure, if nothing else, the social pressure alone might force them to make a decision at this point.
I mean, that's literally bad for business for Aston Martin. And I mean, yeah, there's lots of people last year that were giving unpopular opinions that Lance wasn't all that bad. But I think you rear in Danny Ricciardo on Danny's best weekend he's had in the past year, and everybody will join against you.
Yeah, you could have done it to anybody else.
But you ran into Lance. You ran into Logan Sargeant. It wouldn't even be newsworthy. But you hit Danny Rick on Danny's good weekend. Game over, man.
Like, burn him at the stake. Get him out of here.
So I don't know. I think if I'm Carlos, I'm holding out for one of those two possibilities and sliding into a good seat. I don't know that it would be worth it to go down to those back markers right now, man.
Yeah.
That's hard.
It is. That's a hard pill to swallow for somebody who's doing as good as he's doing right now.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
But
we'd have a spicy Carlos racing around the track, which would be pretty entertaining.
That's true.
At all times. That's true.
It's been entertaining already. All right. Well, before we finish this, I want to ask, did you see the social media or the Instagram post coming out of Lando Norris and Martin Garrix partying it up in Amsterdam over the weekend?
Is that the one where Lando got his face busted in or something?
Yeah. They're just partying away on a boat. And then the next picture is him with his face wrapped up.
I can't Zach wait to Brown's hear got to see that and be like, oh shit.
I know, right? I can't wait to see or to hear the stories about what happened with that.
And Blando does see it when last summer break they did the interviews and random questions to like all the drivers for Formula One, and I think universally they're one of the questions was like, who's the most likely to like get in trouble partying, and everyone was like Lando.
Definitely. Oh, for sure. You know? Like, for sure, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't know. Well, hopefully there's more craziness. I think silly season's definitely it's on the precipice here. I think things are going to start happening. We got the Miami Grand Prix this weekend. We got some fun stuff coming up. I'm excited to get out of the Asian tracks and get into some of the European tracks. I'm really looking forward to Silverstone, Zandvoort, Spa, Imola. Like, those old school tracks are just some of my absolute favorite, and so I'm excited
to get out of
the European sector.
I'm excited to get out of the Asian time zone for the races.
That too.
So this weekend is going to be awesome. Like you said, Miami, so it's a US race, it's Logan Sargeant's home race. According to rumors, might be his final race. We'll see. I don't know. But we also got some teams we'll talk about next, coming back with some upgrades for this weekend. But we'll be back in a couple days with the Miami Grand Prix prediction pod, which it is a sprint race. We cannot forget about that. Other than that, if you like this podcast, make sure you leave us a rating and review. Follow us on Instagram, Formula_America. And I think that's all I got, Dylan. What about you?
That's all I got, Kurt.
All right. Well, on that note,
stay classy, America.
We'll see you next time.